Hey, what's up, guys? This is Jordan Othengill with Cloud 9, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, everybody. Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 88 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, January 11th, 2018. The time, 4:15 p.m. We're doing an early show today. Kind of nice. Anuj is not here, which is partially why we can do the early show today. Because oddly enough, Brett and I both have the day off. Unplanned. What's up, Brett?
What's up, family?
Holding
just
it?
Just recovering. from that hangover from last night?
Had a crazy Overwatch League. Opening night, man. Got the best of you.
Uh-huh. Yep. We'll go with that.
We'll discuss Overwatch League. The Overwatch League coming up here. It opened up last night. We'll open the show with that. We will also end the show with e-news as always. We're going to talk some Call of Duty World League, the Counter-Strike Major, which is starting, and that's in heavy quotation marks this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that. And as I mentioned, we'll start the show with some Overwatch League, but first, let me tell you how you can keep in touch with us. You can follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg, which will have all of our other social media on there. Also, our Discord. I highly recommend you join that. We are in there. We're going to pretty much be in there for every night of the Overwatch League to discuss the matches as they are going live. Last night, we had some listeners join in, and that was a lot of fun. Appreciate you. And speaking of that Overwatch League opening nine, Brett, pretty good, if I must say so myself.
Yeah, I mean, one of the doubts going in was how big was it going to be, right? Like, the original talk was, can it maintain 20,000 viewers?
Right.
Kind of knocked that out of the park last night. And, you know, I'm watching a match right now. It's the early match at 4 o'clock. 200,000 viewers. So, I mean, I think they're going to be able to maintain this. I love the hype, you know, around this league right now. It's putting a lot of other leagues on notice. People are noticing what, you know, the success that's going on right now. It's just so flawless. Like,
yeah,
the presentation, the viewing. I mean, it's easy to watch. You don't really seem like you miss much.
So last night was also kicked off with San Francisco versus LA Valiant. So you have that local, you know, fandom there with California, which is where this is all being held at for the moment. And at one point in the night, it did peak over 400,000. It peaked like right around 415,000 views, which is insane. Like, I'm not going to say that's going to be every night. I mean, for example, right now it's at 200,000. And that's probably going to go up as the night goes on. Just this is an early game because London is playing right now. But as you said, it's just around 200,000 viewers. When we were doing like all of our preview discussion for this, you know, we both said, I think we all kind of agreed, Counter-Strike on YouTube Gaming gets roughly around 20, maybe 30,000 viewers for a, like, their regular season pro match, right? For ESL or ECS. And that's pretty good. It's on YouTube Gaming, though, right? So take that with a grain of salt. And we said the same thing with Overwatch League. Man, if it can get around 20,000 every game, it's a success.
Yeah.
Even from like yesterday and today, I don't expect the hype train to be continuing going this full force. But you got to think, like, even if this just retains 100,000 viewers, it is blowing any type of expectations I had for the league this early on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I saw it a different way. You know, I felt like they could maintain, like, they would be super successful in their viewership because every team will, maybe minus the Shanghai Dynasty.
Yeah, but our definition of what was super successful is much different now, you know?
What?
Like, like earlier, right? Our definition of a super successful stream was 50,000 viewers.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was peak expectations were 50,000. And right now they're rocking 200,000 on a 4 o'clock game.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah. And I think they're going to be able to maintain this hype because every team, like I was saying, outside of Shanghai, there are personalities on every team that people attach themselves to.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, the Mayhem, you know, that's pretty much all of Team Sweden for the most part. And, you know, that country is going to attach to that team. You know,
you're gonna see. I think you're gonna see more fluctuation when people realize what teams aren't fun to watch. You know, you're gonna have that snooze fest where it's, you know, Philadelphia versus Florida at one point, and like that one might not bring in as much. It's going to eventually even out to where you are gonna have those teams that bring in the high numbers. But that's no indication on the success of the league or anything. Just from yesterday, right. And this might be the hype talking. But I have no concern in this being a success.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I mean, even from like a production standpoint, I really don't have any huge complaints. I loved the fact that they were going third person more when it was like if they were trying to follow a Genji or a Tracer. And I understand that that's somewhat limited just because the actual in-game smart camera is difficult to work with sometimes going third person, which is why mm-hmm. you don't see it as often. But I did like that they at least made an effort to make it easier to watch someone like Genji or Tracer that just is zipping by.
Right.
I know when we had, you know, we had actually a pretty good group in our Discord last night watching. We had a handful of listeners in there, just kind of the normal crew as well. And I was pretty impressed, just kind of impression-wise. It's almost like people saved the hype for Overwatch, because, you know, going up to the Overwatch League, we always heard that, you know, is it going to get the viewership because all these other little tournaments aren't bringing in that many viewers? But it almost seems like people, and I was in the same boat, so I guess I wasn't alone here, I didn't care about those little tournaments because I knew there was a bigger one coming up, right? The real thing was coming up, and it almost seems like that's how the majority of the people feel now with the Overwatch League going on. Mm. They're just kind of hunkering down for that. If you watched some of the matches from last night, there were some good ones. Before we get into that, we teased it in our preview episode. So let me go a little bit more in detail with our TCR Pick'em show bet that we're doing. So we're doing four games. This is between me, Anuj, Brett, and a listener we'll pick every week. We'll pick a different listener. So if you're interested in picking games against us 1 week, hit us up in our Discord or Twitter. And we don't have a whole lot of listeners, so the chances of you being able to pick is probably high. But just if you want to pick against us, just go ahead and that's how you'll do it. On Twitter or Discord, let us know. But each week, so one of us is going to pick four games, one per day, and no repeat of team. So you can't like have two Dallas Fuel games in 1 week to pick from. Okay? We got to space it out.
Because at this point, you know, if you keep giving me Dallas Fuel games
you gotta
to
keep
pick, I'm
going
to go all homer mode. Yeah.
And statistically, they are not going to win a single game if they continue the pace that they're at. So...
Yeah, they're on pace to go winless.
Winless. So that's what we're doing, right? And you can follow us on Twitter, see the results there. Already, Brett is one game down because he chose Dallas to beat Seoul. We don't really have what the loser is going to do yet. I kind of tossed the idea out there, and I really like it, that the loser has to cosplay as Tracer at DreamHack Austin, which is right before Stage 4 starts. So we might just have to cut this down for the first three stages for the sake of that bet payoff. But, man, I would love to see one of you dressed up as Tracer.
Oh, my God. You know, honestly, like, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, getting that outfit on is going to be challenging.
I mean, that's part of it,
though.
I had a hard time
getting
funny,
my Nip jersey on.
it wouldn't be funny if you had, like, a rockin' body and actually pulled it off. It's only funny because we're fat, and you have to dress up as Tracer. That's the only reason it is.
Yeah, man. If that's the case, I'm gonna start working out right now.
Start doing those squats.
I'm gonna start doing some sit-ups right now, while we're doing the show.
Let's talk about a little bit about that Dallas Fuel and Seoul game. That was kind of the marquee matchup. I mean, Shanghai and LA Gladiators, that pretty much turned into what everyone thought it was going to be. Shanghai is going to struggle this season. You know, it was kind of what everyone thought after preseason, and the first game kind of solidified that.
Right.
San Francisco, they did lose 4-0, but it was, you know, they put up a fight throughout the whole team, the whole thing. It's just came up short there. But yeah, what was...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You want to talk about a little bit about San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, they put up a good effort. You look at the score line, and they didn't get shut out every match.
No.
And, you know, it's only going to get better for the Shock. You know, they're down, you know, arguably their best player, one of the best players in the league, in Sinatra. I didn't even see IDDQD play for whatever reason. Maybe I should know, but
you'd be able to check if the OverwatchLeague.com stats section was up yet.
Yeah, but it's going to get better for them. I felt encouraged that they're just not going to be terrible this season. But you know, that was a fun matchup between the LA team and San Francisco. I have LA being one of those playoff teams, so they took care of business.
And I think what is basically known, I think it's for the most part a unanimous thought that the Dallas Fuel and Seoul Dynasty are going to be kind of 1-2, right? They're like the top dogs right now going into the season anyways. And that was the big marquee matchup last night.
Yeah, they're like 2A. Like it's you know, Spitfire 2B, Dallas 2A, but yeah, I mean they're...
You're putting a lot of stock into Spitfire.
I really am. And honestly, like, it's just you can't go against them. They have two of one of the best DPS in the game. Now, they just lost a map to... Mayhem. So that's looking really good right now. But
that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Dallas Fuel. They ended up losing to Seoul last night. What I am not ever going to understand is they lost 2-1 in a 4-game match.
Yeah.
Because they drew on the last game, on the last map they drew on. And I don't really understand how the tying works in this. And I know you've explained it to me 100 times and our friends have explained it to us 100 times. I still don't understand. So if you draw, that game just doesn't count.
Right. I'll explain it.
But it does count for round differential?
Yeah, okay. So I'll explain it for the listeners. So ultimately, you know, there's four matches you play no matter what. The seeding is always going to go by win-loss. And secondly, if win-loss doesn't decide a tiebreaker, it goes to head-to-head. And then it goes to round differential. So, you know, the Dallas Fuel, they're -1 right now in round differential overall. So, you know, they play those four maps. And so if they're tied, so if the Fuel would have won the fourth map, they would have went to a fifth control map to decide the win-loss. Everyone follow that?
So...
Everyone got it under control there.
Okay. So like, I'm looking at the standings right now. Seoul is 1-0. They have 1-1, so it's the best of 4, but which is really 5 if you tie.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it just doesn't have to be that complicated, I guess is my point. Like, and I know, like, Sir Scoots has even tweeted about it, like, saying, like, what is the point of these last maps when a team has won already? You know, like, so if you get 3-0'd right off the bat, you're still playing a fourth map. Is that just that's what you've signed up for, so you got to play it out? Or just right. For example, LA Gladiators, they won. They were 3-0 on Shanghai. So really that game should be over. You won the best of 4, but it's not a best of 4 series. It's four maps.
It's just four maps. Now, the reason, my opinion, that like why they did this was just to add a different, an extra layer of deciding a winner. So if it's like, if we're at the end of the season and, you know, there's only 12 teams. So if, you know, just a group of, you know, eight seeds or six seeds rather are just so close together, you have this extra layer of tiebreaker to kind of separate and make it easier to decide who moves on.
So like, for, okay. So correct me if I'm wrong here then. Let's say for example, we'll use the Shanghai and LA Gladiators. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a scenario and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Okay. So Gladiators, they've already won 3-0, right? They're up 3-0. The last map really actually doesn't matter. But if Shanghai says gets two rounds in, or like if they get one, like it, let's say it's a control point, right? And they lose 2-1 still. That one round that Shanghai won on that control point map still goes to their final season standings if they need a tiebreaker?
No. So on the control map, they lost 2-1. That map is a loss. It's a loss for them.
Oh, okay. So, okay. So for example, let me rephrase my example then. So if Shanghai would have won the fourth map, they still would have lost that game, the match, but that one map they won would go to a tiebreaker if need be at the end of the season.
Right. And let's say so the important thing to that is, let's say that they took that, and at the end of the season, Shanghai Dragons and Florida Mayhem had identical records. They both took a game off of each other, and Shanghai Dragons had a round differential of plus 22 and Florida had a, you know, plus 21. That fourth map that Shanghai took off of, you know, whomever they were playing earlier was important because that gave them that extra plus there in rounds, or in maps rather, to move on to that next stage. So that it's just an extra layer to decide who moves on.
Okay.
Type of deal.
I still don't know how I feel about it, but at least it makes a little bit more sense on why they play those fourth maps. And I guess just for the sake of time and everything too, but.
And it's really good because honestly, like these games aren't going to get off track because for the most part, they're timed.
Right.
I mean, it's like a football game. You know when they're going to start, you know when they're pretty much going to end.
Overwatch is a little bit more predictable.
Exactly. So they can do this and be okay from a scheduling standpoint. Yeah. I don't mind it. I like it.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, it makes sense. I'm never against more Overwatch, right? It's just
right.
Last night I was really confused on why they were playing maps when it was like a 3-0. Like, the game's over. What are you doing?
Yeah, we just have to rework our brains because no league, no matter what sport you watch, really does this.
No, yeah, you're right.
So it's
almost like
you have to rework.
You're putting wins in the bank to almost use later on, right? That's kind of how it's viewed, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Perfect analogy. You're putting those maps in a bank, like to maybe help you out, you know, later in the season if you have identical records and head to head.
Right. So right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's there's still little things like that in Overwatch League where I feel like a lot of people don't understand. And you know what? If we can be their beacon of knowledge here at TCR, that's all I ask. That's all I ask. So what games do we have today then? Right now you have London Spitfire versus Florida Mayhem. You got Philly versus Houston. And then Boston versus New York, which is one of our pick 'em games.
Right. And that Outlaws Philly game is going to be interesting. I had Houston as one of my playoff teams. Interested to see what lineup they go with because, you know, they have three really good tanks on that lineup. I'm interested to see kind of where they go.
So I don't want to talk too much about that because by the time this is even posted, that game will be over. But I do, you brought up tanks, and I want to ask you this about the Dallas Fuel last night. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't use Coco at all. They used Siegel for one map, the one that they won, and then other than that, they switched to like their kind of standard lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like XQC got tilted?
No, I don't.
After
I don't
Temple of Anubis, did you feel like maybe they should have
I was kind of hoping, because on they did on what was it? It was King's Row, I believe, if memory serves me right, was the first
Junkertown?
Map. Junkertown. It was Junkertown. Junkertown. And they had Seagull kind of doing that you know, unconventional, you know, he was playing Hanzo and then he switched to Junkrat.
Which is why they picked him
I
up.
I feel like that's what they needed to do against Sol, just throwing out like just out of the ordinary strats, because Sol, they're so technical. I just felt like Dallas Fuel needed that, and they took the first map off of Sol, so I was like, okay, yeah, this comp is working. They, you know, maybe they should stick to something like that, just mm-hmm. something off the wall and something you don't see a whole lot. And they didn't. You know, they switched their supports in the second map, and then, you know, they brought on XQC.
I felt like that hurt them with XQC, especially like after Temple of Anubis, where they lost 6-5. And XQC does this. If you ever watch him on stream, he'll do this even when he's like playing Winston. When he gets tilted, he almost turns into like a flanker tank, you know? And I understand that Winston has the mobility to like get in and get out of a fight. But dude, you're not up against a pug room, right? You're up against Dynasty right now. You're up against arguably the number one team in the league. If you try to flank them, they're going to punish you for it.
Yeah.
And I felt like Dallas was on a lot of odd man rushes, not exclusively XQC's fault. I'm just saying it happened enough to where even in the Discord, people are like, what is he doing right now?
Yeah, and especially on Temple of Anubis, it's hard for Winston to be super aggressive and then jump out of a fight, because one, you don't really have the room vertically to jump and get out of a fight. And the choke is so narrow that it's hard for a support to go out of their way to heal you. So, you know, from that standpoint, yeah, I could see, you know, being a little bit.
They would have switched it up for Nubani, right? You have the luxury of Coco and Seagull just sitting in the back room, you know, waiting to have swap outs. When you lose two in a row, why not try to switch it up? You know, even if you feel like, hey, we got this, don't worry. I feel like I don't know when they make that decision of like, is it the coach? Is it, you know, who makes the decision to rotate these players in and out? But going into Nubani, where I knew they had a draw, but at that point, you never really felt like Dallas was going to win. Like even going into Nubani, you did not feel confident at all.
Yeah, and this goes back to our conversation last episode where we're like, yeah, we can't really overanalyze these teams and these players because we haven't really seen them. We're trying to learn these players, but the teams being so new, they're trying to learn their team as well. So that maybe they take it as a learning experience, like look and see what they did wrong this map, and maybe switch it up and maybe bring on Seagull a little bit more. In later matches or what have you, but you know they're still trying to figure themselves out too. So, you know, if we're 3 weeks in the season and they, you know, they're still keeping that same roster, same comp, and it's just not working, then we can, you know, kind of criticize them a little bit more.
Right.
But right now, you know, they're trying to learn, we're trying to learn, everyone's learning.
It's a different way to play, so. Right? You've never had a chance to swap out and think in between maps, oh, maybe this isn't working right now. You know, maybe if we just switch it up because they know how to counter XQC's play style, right?
Yeah.
Which is flank. I mean, he's super aggressive, right? That's his thing. Maybe against a team like Dynasty isn't the best. Maybe you need to play, you need to slow the game down when you're playing against, you know, Seoul.
And the Korean teams do a very good job. Like their player pulls are ridiculous, and they pull out those like weird strats too. I felt like you needed players in that map, or in those maps, those other three maps that could be a little bit more flexible and be able to change on the fly. And they didn't really have that. So, well.
Well, I mean, that's like Fleta on Seoul. I mean, on Nubani, he literally went from on attack. He started out, I think, as Widow. Then he switched to Pharah to take over the point. And then for the second point, switched to Doomfist. Like within a matter of 2 minutes, the dude switched to three different heroes and was effective on each and every single one of them.
Yeah, they're super flexible, and you know, Dallas.
That's going to be an issue, though. I mean, it's not just Dallas either, right? I mean, I don't want to sound the alarm. You just lost to the best team in the league, but I mean, Seoul is going to be so scary because of that reason. The fact that they can adapt to any situation. It's going to be insane. Yeah. It's going to be insane to watch. Again, Overwatch League, it's going all the way to the end of July. We're going to try our best to always be in the Discord during the matches, but you know we have lives too. But I highly suggest you join in on the discussion. We are always in there. Last night was a lot of fun getting to talk with some of the listeners, say what's up.
Yeah, and for those who don't really watch a whole lot of Overwatch, we were talking Counter-Strike last night too. So yeah,
it's not just an Overwatch party, it's just chilling.
Yeah.
You know? You want to see how many F-bombs I can say? Join the Discord. It's a lot more than what you say on the podcast.
You want to learn some new words, kids.
Yeah. That's,
join our Discord.
The Discord is not family-friendly. The show, our podcast, is very family-friendly. I cannot be responsible for what is said on Discord. That's just not how it goes.
Nope.
This is a big weekend, though, not only because Overwatch League finally started, right? This is a big weekend, though, for other reasons. You have Call of Duty New Orleans, which is starting up, which we'll talk to you about here in just a couple of minutes going into e-news. But another big reason is the CSGO Major Boston is technically starting. Are we?
Technically.
I don't think we here at TCR do not endorse the new Valve Major system that they are trying to push on us as the major for the sake of them getting more sticker money. But
that's what it is. Yeah.
I mean, that's all. Dude, that is all it is. Anyone who thinks otherwise, if anyone thinks that the reason Valve all of a sudden made these offline qualifiers is to be a part of the major is to make teams feel like they are something more than what they are, is delusional. This is all about sticker money. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you think teams like Flash Gaming from the Asia Minor from China should be in this major? Do you really think Misfits, albeit have been performing decently, should be in the major? No, not at all. And yet here they are, technically qualified for the major. And that is starting this weekend, though. So the new challengers are playing this weekend, which for the longest time we always just called the offline qualifier.
Yeah.
So the offline qualifier starting this weekend.
Yeah, and I just feel like there's so many things going wrong for this major. I don't feel, and let me know if you maybe feel the same way, Tim. Like, I don't feel like the hype around this major is as big as it's been in the past.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's just so watered down. I mean, you have teams that can't really put together their full rosters because of stupid rules. And, you know, it's just,
No, I 100% agree that this going into this major feels a lot different compared to ones in the past. It could be because there's a lot more things, you know, other than Counter-Strike, right? You got Overwatch League, Call of Duty, World League, and all that going on at the same time.
Yeah, but
I think it's also because
Counter-Strike, and you're supposed to be like the number one FPS.
I think it's just because for multiple reasons, and we can get into the conversation whichever way you want to take this. If you want to talk about like, okay, it's Counter-Strike, you should be number one. Valve hasn't done anything to spice it up, right? Yeah. Valve has turned into the housewife that is just content with, you know, waking up in the morning, maybe folding some blankets, doing some laundry, then go to bed. I need Valve to keep it tight for me, you know?
Keep it tight.
Just keep it tight. Go to the gym once in a while.
And Anuj was talking about us. Anuj was talking about this in the Discord, you know, last night about how, I mean, they've really, like, more to your point, I haven't done anything to spice it up, you know, even from the UI standpoint, just making that better. Anuj brought that up last night, and I thought that was a good point. Like, they're not doing anything to keep our interest. Not only are they oversaturating us with tournaments, you know, every other weekend.
Or extending the major by 2 weeks.
Yeah, or extending the major by 2 weeks, but they're doing nothing from a viewership standpoint to keep me intrigued. Like, I'm going to watch the major because I love watching Counter-Strike, but not everyone shares my viewpoint on this, and I ultimately think it's going to end up destroying them in the long run.
I want to see, because it starts tomorrow, is the first matchups for the new Challenger stage right now. I want to see how they present it. You know, are they going to present this as the Boston Major, right? Because it's being in Atlanta. Like, these first games aren't even in Boston. These are in Atlanta. Even the group stage this year is in Atlanta. So we actually aren't even going to Boston until the playoffs start on January 26th. So are they going to try to sell me when I tune in tomorrow? Am I going to try to get this presentation that, like, this is the Boston Major, blah, blah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be force-fed that this is the Boston Major. It's really not. Yeah. This is a qualification in Atlanta for the Boston Major. You want to call this the road to the major? That's fine.
Yeah. Like, kind of like, you know, the NCAA basketball, like road to the Final Four or something like that. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, Atlanta is not Boston. Geographically, they're so far apart that it just makes no sense.
The fact that you try to trick this up by calling it the new Challenger stage, which we all know is the offline qualifier to get into the group stage. It's the same exact premise behind it. Valve just calls it something different and throws stickers on it. And I know there's people out there that are like, well, you know, it's good for the players because they get money, right? It's never a bad thing. But as far as, like, from a logistics standpoint of, like, does this make any sense to help the game grow? Like, no, it doesn't whatsoever. It does the opposite, like you mentioned. It's watering it down. And I think, was it Stewie? Was Stewie the one who said it?
No, I'm not
sure. Or was it Automatic? It was some Asian from Cloud9.
Some Asian.
One of the Asians from Cloud9, I think, tweeted out saying that basically it kind of diminishes the meaning of saying you made a major, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't come at, like, for example, I don't think of, I would pick any of these teams, right? Flash Gaming. Right, I don't think Flash Gaming can walk up to SK and be like, "Man, pretty crazy. We both played in the major, eh? Like, that's this major like, business is pretty crazy stuff, right?" Like, no, not really, not really the same thing at all. You're minor league talking to a major leaguer right there. The fact that now they're both playing in the World Series is. Seems a bit silly, like, to me.
Someone from Flash went up to Cold Zero and said that to him. He's like, I'll talk to you after I take a shower. That man is always taking a shower.
Dude. Yeah. He's the white whale as far as trying to get an interview with him ESL Dallas when we asked him. And to be fair, I don't think... So, it was like, they're all sitting by... This is at ESL Dallas, and they're all sitting by the pool. And, we respectively ask players when we think it's appropriate for liners or in interviews. I don't think he understood a word that we were saying, because I don't even think we asked for, like, any... We didn't even ask for an interview. We just said sup or whatever. And he's like, let me take a shower first. We're like, what?
Wait, what?
Like, what are you talking about? Like, it just said hi,
just
dude.
Like a 5-second liner.
Yeah, like, just say your name into this microphone. That's all I need. Good guy. Good guy.
Yeah, totally.
Drinks a lot. Good guy.
Yeah.
One other thing, though, just going into the major, and we are going to do a full-on major preview episode probably next week when Anuj decides to pencil in the show and act on his responsibility. But we'll do
never
a full-on.
Never here, man.
No. You know, he's really changed, you know. It's just the podcast, it's really changed him. We'll do a full-on preview episode when we actually know the final 16 teams, right? So, which is going to be after this weekend. The offline qualifiers, which is a Swiss format, which is... I think we've decided as we didn't. If I'm remembering correctly, we all like it until it actually goes into it, and then we all hate it.
I still like it, but yeah,
it has potential to be really bad. Like, as far as the finals go, it has that potential to where it's going to be Immortals versus Gambit into the finals, and you're like, how the hell did we get here? Like, this is not what anyone wanted. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Immortals, they're not even in the major anymore. They are now 100 Thieves.
Yeah, totally not.
That, and they're skipping all the way to the Legends, so they're not even playing. Some of these teams you're going to see tomorrow are really going to look different. You'll have Cloud9 playing. That's the normal Cloud9 that's been around. You have Flipside, which is going to look a tad different. Okay, no more Electronic. They now have seized from Na'Vi as they swapped players, so Electronic is going to play for Na'Vi. Is that going to help Na'Vi's cases, you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, they most definitely got better because Electronic, he was one of the more sought-out players. He's one of the best riflers.
But they have just struggled, man.
In the CISC.
Have you really thought their issue has been, like, rifling, you know?
I think
it's been synergy, if anything.
I think their issue was not sticking with the original roster and figuring it out and thinking that Zeus was going to be the end-all, be-all, you know?
But Brett,
but that's,
Zeus,
save that.
Zeus carried Gambit.
Oh yeah, they totally carried.
He just rallied around his words. He just rallied around Zeus's words.
Yeah, they rallied around their words. They didn't even like each other. Like, it's like
no,
the
yeah,
players
they
didn't. Even
he
like
was them. Such an inspirational player in the last major that he immediately left the team like a week after. Like, really.
No, don't come at me with that.
Really
it
rallied
it was Hobbit,
around him.
Yeah, and Adrin. Who carried that team to the major? Not Zeus's advanced strats and hurrah.
You'll have some big teams in there. FaZe. FaZe is going to
penciled
be
in, man.
Yeah, like that's going to be ridiculous to see them in this type of qualifier. You have Team Liquid, which would normally I would say like okay, that's probably a confident pencil in, but we have to remember that this is not like normal Team Liquid with Steel. Zeus is going to play. Steel is not allowed to play.
For all practical purposes, they're playing with four players, which if you ever, you know, if you play Counter-Strike, you know that if you don't have, that is the one of the one games where if you just have somebody that's god-awful terrible, it destroys you. Like, and that's their problem. But I don't get how Liquid can't play with Steel, but you can have 100 Thieves, a brand new team, go into legend status and keep that roster.
I don't understand it. I mean, I've been a big proponent on the reworking the way that works, right? Like the grandfathering in teams because of roster positions and should organizations be getting in? I think all of it's kind of a mess, to be honest with you. But the fact that Liquid here cannot have Steel, who at the time should, like, he's basically been on the roster now for almost 2 months, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that you can't play with them, why? When all of his former teammates are also playing in this major on 100 Thieves with these two randoms, well, I say randoms, but that weren't there before. They weren't even on another team in the major.
Yeah.
And they're just walking in.
Bit and FNX had nothing to do with 100 Thieves getting to this point. But yet they get to play in this major and Steel is left out.
That's not right, dude.
It's not.
It doesn't
not
make
right.
Any
it's totally not
sense.
Right.
If I was Steel, I'd be sitting there like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, I should be playing right now. You shouldn't have. It's such a waste of talent right now. And it's if I was Liquid, I'd be so upset that. Brett.
What?
I'm looking out my window. In our undisclosed location.
Is it snowing?
It is snowing.
Oh, my God. A unicorn in Texas.
Undisclosed location.
Oh, my God. Undisclosed location.
Undisclosed location. Where it is snowing. Mm. Well,
man,
looks like someone's not
going
to work
well,
tomorrow.
I'll be getting that here in the next couple of minutes. So
looks like someone's getting drunk again watching Overwatch League tonight.
We're not talking about that. I'm never drinking again. Oh my god.
Anyways,
so bad.
What were we talking about? Oh, Liquid.
Yeah.
I just think if I was Liquid, I'd be really upset that you made this game-changing acquisition of picking up Steel, and yet, for realistically, the next 3 months after picking him up, you can't even see what it's going to be like playing with him in anything that matters, right? I think it's bogus. I think it's a shame. And I think it's to not have Steel in the major is, on an American team nonetheless, I think it's really hurting the quality of the game. I don't want to blow it up and say that it's going to just completely destroy how I feel about the major, but it definitely is not. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I think you should
be
there.
You know, and we're not in the minority. I feel like we're in the majority when it comes to that. Like everyone's talking about it. It's just it sucks.
Yeah,
because you know that's one. You know, that's just one less in A team. You know, if they had their full roster, I would have them in that 8 out of those 16 qualifiers, those qualifying teams. I would have them coming out of this, but with Zeus, there's no way. There's just no way that they can overcome that.
No, what and was the what was the last tournament they played and it had Zeus, and it was not good.
Yeah, no, it was.
Was
terrible.
It ECS?
Yeah, he had like a minus 27 KD or something like that. Like his like. I
well,
mean,
both. You had the ESL Pro League. I mean, it's not going to end well for Liquid, I don't think. Because, again, I understand this is a major, but did you really want to put that much time and effort between, you know, 2 months of picking up Steel and now to really work with Zeus, knowing that he's not going to be the permanent pickup, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're in a weird spot.
Maybe they've grinded out some matches and he'll be just fine.
Their saving grace is that 8 teams are moving on, right?
Yeah.
And there are worse teams out there that you just got to make the top 8. That's
like,
all you got to tell yourself. Make the top 8.
All right. So, I mean, locks in the. Okay. So you got FaZe, Cloud9, G2,
Mouse Sports,
Navi. That's 6 teams right there.
That you
so
think are going to be locked.
For 2 spots. Yeah. But so you got.
Did
you
put Envious as a lock?
I did. I mean, with that roster, I see no reason why they shouldn't move on out of these 16 teams.
I would love to see Misfits make it, to see Sean Garris and his beautiful face.
That man does have a beautiful face. Mm. And Shazam, Anuj's boy.
Oh, God, yeah. Anuj would just love that.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Like I said, I'm not really going to get too worked up over a offline qualifier. Oh, I mean a new challenger stage. Sorry,
yeah.
Valve. Didn't mean
we'll
to disrespect.
We'll save those bullets for next week. Yeah.
Didn't mean to disrespect you. So we'll
talk
more about we'll talk more about the actual major and stuff going into next week, because the group stage is on the 19th. So that's next weekend, I believe.
Right.
Yep. Next Friday. Just looked at a calendar. Also, another thing that's starting up next week, or I'm sorry, not next week, but tomorrow, is the CWL New Orleans. This is going to be a good one, too. So this is the second big event for Call of Duty World War II. We're running out of time, so can't get into a full-on preview, but some of these groups are ridiculous. You have Group D, which is the cliche group of death. You got Splice, who was a finalist in Dallas, lost to TK. You have E United, who was, again, ridiculous in Dallas.
Yeah.
Echo Fox and Ground Zero, all like top teams going into this. You know, Splice is number one in Europe. You have E United, who's number 4 in NA. Echo Fox is number 8. Ground Zero is 10th in NA. You got to understand, when I say 10th in NA, but like worldwide, they're ridiculous, right?
Yeah, and you know, I'm not going to pretend to know a ton about these teams and Call of Duty. I think it's fun to watch, but I can go with my limited knowledge. I can go into group A, B, and C and say those two teams are going to make it out. But right. You go to group D, it's like Splice and one of those other three teams.
And you know, yeah. I'm curious to see how Optic Gaming, you know, they've struggled this in World War II. And I say struggle. They've struggled for Optic Gaming. They have not been, you know, as on point as I think people thought they were going to be coming back to, you know, boots on the ground. So I think in their group, they have, you know, Team Envy, Vitality, and Epsilon. I mean, that's a pretty cush group to be in, especially if you're struggling Optic Gaming right now. I don't see... I mean, Envious, it's so weird that Envious is not the team that they were. It's just their roster has been picked apart.
Mm-hmm.
You got Team Caliber, though, who is going into this being a number one seed, mainly because they did win in Dallas, and there just wasn't enough time between then and now for other teams to kind of gain up on points. But it's going to be pretty cool to see if they can repeat. You know, you have Kenny on that team. Is he going to be able to kind of be the legit
beast that he was?
Yeah, like in Dallas, even though accuracy, correct me if I'm wrong, CWL Dallas accuracy won MVP. Is that right? If memory serves me.
That does sound...
I think he did win MVP right. For Dallas, which was not my vote. I thought Kenny should have gotten that because I just felt like he was there when it... He made the difference. The one thing that's going to be interesting for this, though, is, you know, when Dallas rolled around, everyone and their mother used a PPSH and the FG-42. Everybody used them. There's been some balance tweaks here and there, and this is kind of the first big tournament since they've done those balance updates. So I want to see how the pros adapt, you know, with the rifling. Are you going to see more bar out there? Are people going to be using that bar more? Or the Tommy gun, I know for a little bit, was kind of like, dang, this is ridiculous hip fire accuracy, but we'll see.
Yeah. You know, the FG, like everyone was using that weapon. I haven't been really watching a whole lot of pros on Twitch lately, so I don't really know what they're using. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's always interesting and kind of adds a little bit more drama when you change the meta and, you know, you see different weapons and different guns and stuff and people trying to figure out, you know, the new best way to play. Yeah. Figuring it out. That's the theme of this show. Figuring it out.
So we'll talk more about that though next week as we recap New Orleans. For now though, let's get into some e-news, shall we? Not a whole lot has happened. In the Overwatch League, as you may have noticed, it's on Twitch. Through MLG. MLG is... I don't really get it, to be honest with you. But MLG's on there somehow. They're working their way in. But it is... Twitch is the primary provider for their streams. And that cost Twitch a clean $90 million for a two-year deal. The basic math on that tells me that is $45 million a year to broadcast Overwatch League on Twitch.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend like I understand how the money is going to come back to Twitch. That's some Amazon money, right? They got that Amazon money.
That internet money?
Yeah, so...
Internet money?
I'm just going to assume Twitch knows what they're doing. That, to me, that seems like a crazy amount considering the next biggest deal was a $300 million deal for 7 years that Riot and BAM Tech did just last, oh, I guess in 2016, 2 years ago now. And even then, though, mathematically, that's like a couple million dollars less than the 45. I think it's like $43 million.
Yeah, and maybe there's no real monetary value coming at Twitch initially, but you know, I forget who said it, but maybe it's just a relationship building thing.
That's
if this thing does take off.
That was my theory, is that offer them a lot of money now so you earn that relationship, and then that way next time it comes around, maybe they'll talk to you first. Maybe you could stretch out a longer deal, right? Like, okay, 2 years were great. Let's bump this up, you know?
Can I? Yeah, and just bravo to Overwatch. I mean, that's kind of been the theme of their start in this thing. Like, you know, hey, teams, we need $20 million apiece to get into this thing. You know, you'll get your payoff later. Hey, Twitch, $90 million for 2 years. You'll get your payoff on this later.
They're definitely confident
in it. They're just raking it in, man.
Because I think they know. You know, they know that this is going to be a success, and it's obviously showing it. But still, $90 million for 2 years is a bit insane.
Yeah.
I don't know the money involved with this, but the Big Ten Network and Riot Games has decided to extend the College League of Legends partnership through 2019. So that's, again, another... I know League of Legends has been kind of... As far as, like, collegiate goes, League of Legends is the one that colleges, for whatever reason, are picking up first, and I'm sure that has a big reason to do with it in the Big Ten. And what else? Oh, you had E United defeat Rivals in the Smite World Championship.
Oh, my God.
So...
Wow.
Don't ever say we don't talk about Smite on TCR.
Wow.
That's it. That's all I got. I watched.
That's all I got. Just,
I watched
wow.
the very last kill because it was on the front page of Twitch, and I was like, "Don't get it, but okay." I guess someone likes it.
United.
Someone likes it. So that's it.
Yeah.
That's all for episode 88 of TCR. I appreciate you listening again. I love you, even if you just skipped around, or maybe you made it all the way through the show. Kudos to you. We will be back next week. We'll update you on the Overwatch League. I have a feeling that's going to be a weekly occurrence where we talk about kind of the marquee matchups throughout the weekend, or, you know, depending on when we record. We'll see what's up with that. Next week, we will... recap and preview some more of the CSGO major that's going on. Recap Call of Duty New Orleans. Good stuff. Again, if you are into Overwatch or just not, we're always in our Discord. So hit us up, tcr.gg, to get the link for that. Or on our Twitter, @TheCenterRing. What else? Am I missing anything, Brett?
No, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. Yeah, just come in. Hang out with us.
We're friendly.
Like I said, we don't only talk
Overwatch. Brett is a 34-year-old man with a wife and kid, another one on the way, and he'll get drunk by himself watching Overwatch League.
I'll drink with you. Come drink with me.
So for Brett, I'm Tib. Thank you so much.